This is exactly right.
On the next season of Tenfold More Wicked, a longtime listener reaches out with a tragic family story that's been passed down through the centuries. It's about Rebecca Briggs Cornell, an English Puritan separatist fleeing religious persecution, only to be found burned to death in her own home. Was it an accident or was it murder? Season 11 is out now on Exactly Right. New episodes on Mondays. Follow Tenfold More Wicked on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Babs Gray, and sometimes it's fun to take a boob out just because it's there.
Hey, absolutely. I like to hold one like it's a pet cat and I'm reading the news. That's what I like to do. That wasn't my joke. Hey, I'm Brandy Posey.
Brandy gets two jokes.
Ah, yes. Give them to me. I'm smiggling the jokes in the opening. Thank you. Pro tip, everybody. Invest in crypto just to have something on your phone to check that isn't Twitter.
I'm Tess Barker, and okay, so when men go bald, it's sexy, but when I go bald, it's a Brazilian bikini wax.
And this is Lady to Lady.
Can you keep a secret?
Neither can we.
Hello! We got Barbara, Brandy, and of course, Big Tess. We got a show for everyone that's the fucking best. Come on, baby, it's time to hang out. Your favorite
ladies, ladies and ladies, ladies and ladies. Wow, those ladies mentioned at the beginning, that's us.
Oh my god, hi.
Feels so good to be heard by you.
Surprise. Surprise, we're here again. Yeah. You guys have anything to say before we bring our guests on? Any burning issues?
We got five voices on the microphone. Let's just get into it, baby.
Let's do it. They're the hosts of the Water Friends 4 podcast. We're very excited to have them on the show. Gabrielle Ruiz and Paula V. Sastry.
What up, ladies? What is up? I have to say the warm-up of just getting on Zoom and us just like getting it together was might have been the most productive, sexiest thing of like, we're ready to roll because we're all podcasting and we're all podcasters and we're also all women. Yeah. We're also ladies, and we were just like, we got it. Okay, yes. Just clap together, go. It was the sexiest experience I've ever had.
Yeah, we're not fucking around here.
Oh, yeah. Thank you. Thank you for appreciating that.
Yes.
We're just professionals in our various rooms in our houses with microphones, just doing our thing, hoping our pets don't bark or meow.
And also, lady to lady, like, Tess, I was, like, half expecting you to say something about going, like, actually bald on your head because, like, I'm like, I was like, is she going to trigger me with my postpartum hair loss right now? Like, I'm so glad you did it, though.
Yeah. No, just about my bear pussy, which, like, now that I'm vaccinated, well, there's only one person that's my husband. So, listeners, that
I was going to say, what is that?
Now that I'm vaccinated, the same person's going to keep seeing my vagina.
And oh, man.
Well, thank you guys for joining us. We're very excited to have you. Yeah.
We're thrilled, too. We love you guys.
Aw, thank you. Hell yeah.
It's not rare we do five guests, so I feel like it's always a special chance, you know, for us to go in. Because some people are like, you guys laugh too much. We have gotten that there's too many cackles. So we're like, we're gonna add two more.
The title of the show. I mean, get over it. Just prepare yourself. Speaking of the title of the show and pussies, I just want to talk about real fast. Like, I had to give up the Brazilian wax like 2 years after giving it a try because my pee goes everywhere.
Oh my God! What is that?
We don't realize that the landing strip is actually like it is a it gives direction to your bodily functions.
And you would never think it until it happens. I will never forget the first you. It's like your pee goes on like what's that mode on the hose? Sprinkler mode.
Wide jet spray.
Nobody wants
this.
That.
Is very interesting to me because I will
never heard this before.
Tess Barker is someone who, you know, has talked about how she doesn't have hair down there, but also has talked about what a proficient peer she is.
Well, let me ask you guys this, though, because I barely ever get a Brazilian wax. I usually just keep my pussy shaved, which means, we're talking about it. I don't have, because I'm shaving, I can't say it's truly bald. Now, I wonder if the remaining inaccessible little nubbles and whiskers are what's keeping my pee.
No, probably. It's like a guiding strip. You know, and it's like when you sweat on your face. That's what your eyebrows and eyelashes for the wind are for, is to keep things going elsewhere. And like the stash.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because there's a difference between just shaving and when you get a Brazilian, it's
bare.
Mayhem.
Yes. It's like it's a grassy knoll instead of a concrete.
Exactly. I really think your listeners are going to love this. If they like cackling, they're going to like landing strip conversation. And you know what? Yeah. Someone's going to be very relieved that somebody talked about it. You're welcome.
Exactly. Yeah. You're not alone.
Oh,
you're not alone.
For sure. Exactly. You know, and much like all grousey nulls, watch out for the second shooter in this situation as well, everybody.
Keep your eyes out.
Thank you. Kyle. Can I make a pussy conspiracy joke? That's the Brandy Posey style, baby. Mm-hmm. Yes. Ooh, yeah.
Now, we were talking before we started rolling about these anniversary presents.
Yes. Well, I mean, the thing is that I couldn't even remember how many years I had been married, let alone that there is a different gift for every year, because now I'm like, fuck, should I be like going back and like backlogging and being like, listen, bitch, you owe me for number 6 and 7 because we never did anything for that year.
Oh, shit. Yeah. You might be due some paper goods or something.
Maybe. Well, Brandy, what's year 6? You've written down in a notebook, don't you?
Yeah.
Well, here's the thing. My planner that I got for this year, in the back of it, it has a couple of these lists. It has flowers of the month. I've got it's built in. I didn't. I would not have written this down.
I was going to want to unpack that.
It's there, and now it's good information.
Yeah.
No. No, it's built in. I've got nautical measurements. I've got apothecary weights back here.
Apothecary.
That's when you need it.
Yes. Wait, can you tell me what an apothecary weight is?
Anthropology? She's talking about the store.
It has...
Right?
Apothecary's weight. Yeah. 20 grains
good
equals one scruple.
Good for you.
Which equals...
What? Harry Potter's
1.296 grams. I don't know what the fuck this is, but it's in the notebook, which means it's... Somebody thought it was real at one point or another. Scruples, drams, ounces, and pounds. That's how apothecaries measure things, which I think is why we don't hear from them anymore.
No.
Yes. Unless you're watching a weird modern version of, like, you know, Romeo and Juliet or something.
Exactly.
Yes, that's very Romeo and Juliet. And also, I feel like every third dispensary is called apothecary.
Oh, yeah. They love to throw that word around, for sure. Apothecaries are having a heyday with the weed becoming legal. But I do have a wedding anniversary list. So it's interesting because it goes from 1st to the 15th. There's one every year. And then it goes 20th, 15th, 20th, 25th, 30th, 35th, 40th, 45th, 50th, 55th, 60th.
Oh.
And there's nothing after 60.
Because rude. God damn, if you stayed alive that long, first of all, when did you get married?
Yeah, exactly. But so three of you guys are married already. So let's see how many of these you actually know.
Paper.
What is the first anniversary?
Okay, I know.
That's a good quiz.
Paper. Yes, paper.
Okay.
Cotton.
Second.
Cotton.
Okay. Third.
What did I get him for a third year? Third. I should know this. I'm only married for 4. Ah, what did we do for 3? Shit. I don't remember.
Third.
Oh, I thought you were asking him. I was like,
he's just sitting silently off camera. Perfect.
But here's the thing, though. Like, her husband is the type of person who would memorize a list like that. Like, he would.
Well, I mean, fair. I have to tell you this. Here's a fun story about the 1 year I got him paper. He was traveling for a family funeral, came back, and he's like, "Are you sure I'm okay with landing on our 1 year anniversary?" And it's like, "Yes, I can't go to the funeral, of course." And he comes home. I have this really pretty thing for him. And he hadn't gotten me anything yet because he was like, "I'll get it for you tomorrow." And I'm like, "Okay, that's fine. However, if just so you know now, since it's 1 year, if I let it go 2 more years or 1 more year, I have no reason to defend myself. I need flowers every year." I was like, you need to give me flowers mm-hmm. every year. And he's like, but mm-hmm. I was traveling. I was like, and a cart. And he's like, but I was like, yeah, that means yeah. you were in 8 airports. You could have like, you know, on your phone, 1-800 flowers. You could have like, you know.
Yeah.
That's what airports are for.
And I was like, the only reason I'm bringing it up this harshly yeah. is I'm your wife, of course. But at the second time, like, I can't ever say this
first
again.
Anniversary.
Like, I can never say this again.
Right.
Yeah.
Because then it will devalue the flowers. Like, you just need to know that.
I'll never be able to defend myself ever like, again. You'll never know. And then I'll just be passive aggressive. And then we'll fight about it for 10 years.
Exactly.
So much better to just know.
I will say yeah. I told my boyfriend recently that he wasn't spoiling me enough.
Oh my God.
It's good to tell them.
And he's like, well, I give you plenty of attention. And I was like, that's not the same thing. So I told him this, and I'm going to link you guys to this thing. And then I was randomly looking at stuff online, and I found these portable bathtubs, which are just kind of like weird in and of themselves. But then we watched a video. It's like, it looks like a giant cooler where you get like snapped into it. But we watched a video where this guy takes it down, he puts it on the ground, he unfolds it, he fills it with water, he gets the bath ready, and then the woman gets in and he snaps her into it. And I was like, this is being spoiled.
Is it?
Is this being spoiled?
Her face in this Amazon photo looks very spoiled, as well as this is something that you would have found in a Sky Mall magazine. Okay.
Very
oh my
Sky
God,
Mall.
Yes.
Shout out to a real one. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yeah, this and a bronze Bigfoot. That's what I'm after from a Sky Mall.
Oh, God, yes.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the thing is really a Sky Mall, a different Sky Mall thing for every anniversary is what we really should have been the list.
Okay. So number 3 is when it gets fun. We got number 1 paper, number 2 cotton, number 3 leather. Leathers comes in number 3.
Oh, sexy. Come on, 3. Sexy. Yeah.
Yeah. Third is going to be great. 4th, books or flowers.
Oh, I will like that one.
Technically, that's when flowers comes in. 5th.
But we've already established flowers is everyone listening. Flowers is every year. Just know that.
You know what, though? I have a rebuttal to that because to me, at first, I was really not into flowers. Now I'll accept them, but like
You'll
I wasn't into flowers because
I'm not a big flower person.
Well, because they die. And like, it's like, it's you're not going to be able to hang on to that. And so I remember the first gift that my husband, and then at the time was my boyfriend, sent to me. I was a senior in college is when we started dating and or when we got back together after a breakup because I broke up with him because he sent me flowers to a recital. And I was like, what is this shit? Like, I don't like this is a waste. Like, you could have like flown in instead of sending like, you know
God.
What I mean? I just like, don't send me something that's going to die. What am I going to do with this? I'm a college student flowers with like limited desk space.
To me, they smell like funerals. So I just never really want one.
But I mean, I guess like to me, like, I don't know. Do you guys like getting gifts like expendable things like cookies or like olive oils or bath stuff? I don't know. I don't mind getting stuff that's like a little treat.
I mean, I like flowers.
That's an experience. In my opinion, that's an experience. And like I gift through food as well. So I get that. I get that part of it. That's to me, that's experiencing something. So like, you know, if it's cookies, like we'll eat it together. Maybe eat it off of me or something, you know.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah. But yeah, to me, flowers. See, I would prefer and I like love and accept all gifts very much. And I'm very my husband spoils the shit out of me. Like, honestly, it's kind of like I'm just like, oh, my God, you're very good at this. And so like our first anniversary, I actually shit the bed. Like, he did such a good job. He did such
a
good job.
I thought you were on the anniversary. I shit the bed, period.
I shit the bed.
You're welcome.
Yeah.
And I got us the best toilet paper ever. Paper. Thank you. I had to show it off somehow.
But like, we didn't establish that we were going to, I didn't know about the themes. Or maybe I heard about them and I forgot that I wasn't sure. I wasn't aware on the first anniversary that we were going to be doing the themes. And so like, he put together this like, really sweet. He got me these beautiful flowers and then this really sweet card and then tickets to the theater because it was paper. And I had nothing. Nothing.
Yeah.
My eyes just started watering up and I was like, I have to go to Target. And I just like, I had to roll.
You and my husband at Target.
I remember, Tess, I got an emergency phone call from Tess. She was like, I just fucked up. I was like, what is going on?
But we do hold on to the guilt a lot longer. You know what I'm saying? Like, as women, like, we feel that guilt on, like, a cellular level. And it's, like, after that, we're like, we must recover. We must fix this. At least that's how I see it.
Exactly.
Now I have like the added layer of like mom guilt. Actually, but speaking of gifts, though, I don't really ask for gifts in general. But I remember last year for my birthday, I'm a summer baby, and like it was quarantine last year, and so it was like just around midsummer when everybody was like, "Is it safe to be in somebody's backyard at 6 feet apart?" You know?
Yeah.
And so I had like, you know, maybe four or five friends that came and sat in my backyard with me. We all were wearing masks and whatnot. But during the day that day, I said, "All I want for my birthday is to be left alone.
Oh, I just
want to be by myself."
And did they do it?
Yeah. Yeah. So he was on baby duty all day. Oh, so great.
That's awesome.
I sat with my feet in some like a foot bath, and then I did a body scrub, and then I put on some like eye patches for the whole day, and I just binge watched television and didn't hear a baby cry for the whole time. It was great.
That sounds
you just
nice.
Dressed up like a soft pirate.
my brother
just an eye patch on. It's just you with your feet in a tub with an eye patch over one eye.
The gel cooling pads. It's the gel cooling pads.
I know.
Yeah, my brother has visual. Three kids, and one of his last birthdays, it was must have been before quarantine. But my sister-in-law told me that he just woke up, and they were like, "Where's dad?" And he had just driven by himself to a restaurant and just ate breakfast alone. And he came home and they were like, "Didn't you want to eat breakfast with us?" And he was like, "No, that was amazing. That was the best breakfast I've ever had."
That's the thing about, I mean, I'm 2 weeks away from having a baby, and I have to say, people are asking me frequently now, "Are you ready? Are you just ready to meet her? Or are you ready to not be pregnant?" And I'm like, "Listen, I'm uncomfortable. Okay. Like I cannot sit up by myself. I finally, Philip, please tie my shoes for me. We are at that point now, but I'm enjoying the quiet, you know, and cause I'm 36. When we got married, I was like enjoying my singledom. And then also now I'm just enjoying like I made fucking waffles for myself on Sunday morning with fucking strawberries and fucking powdered sugar, bitches. You know, like I'm not going to do that again for 10 to 15 years.
yeah.
You're and about then to be the covered waffle in a will be thrown to the floor, you know, by a toddler. And it's just like, I know what I'm giving up, but I'm also going to enjoy my waffle maker because I love it and all by myself. So it's a good thing that you recognize that, Pallavi.
That's great. I mean, I feel like it's great that you are recognizing it, and it's like the calm before the storm. Nap. Like I get to.
And like just appreciating even the little last couple of weeks, just like really taking that in and like appreciating it.
All right. So hold on. Let me just go through a couple more of these anniversaries just for the listener in case they're curious about anything. We got 5th anniversary. It's wood. 6th is iron or sugar. 7th, we got copper or wool.
Wait, iron or sugar?
Iron or sugar is 6th.
What?
Pick a mineral. Just pick one.
Okay. Yeah.
I don't like these choices because to me, the 6th is like the 80s rock anniversary, apparently, is like what we just learned.
The problem is like, it's is already weird. Don't give us options. Just give us one
Thank
thing.
You.
Just say one thing. Because just like, say one thing.
Yeah.
But maybe iron can be food, you know, carrots or something.
Yeah. Oh my God. Imagine getting a bag of carrots for your 6th anniversary.
Love
imagine.
You.
Yeah. Here you go. It's now we work on things together. Yeah. And then we've got 7th, copper or wool. We got 8th, bronze or pottery. Weird. 9th.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah. 9th, straw or willow.
Oh.
I think maybe just
someone's
don't,
really.
Yeah.
Just don't give anybody anything for your 9th anniversary, I think.
Yeah.
That's when you get the flowers.
I feel like the apothecary person also wrote this list because now it's getting real.
Yeah, exactly.
Tiny.
Well, I'm gonna go find out who wrote this list, and then I'm gonna beat them up, and I'll be back for the second segment. All right, I'll talk to you guys. We'll be right back
in a second.
Bye.
Hey, everybody! Welcome back to Lady. I'm Brandy.
I'm Babs.
I'm Tess.
And we're here with the host of the What Are Friends For podcast. Why don't you ladies say your name so everyone knows you because we didn't get it in the first one.
Yeah, sure. My name is Gabrielle Ruiz.
And my name is Pallavi Sastry.
Or Pallavi, let's do it like when we do in the show.
Yeah, do it. Okay, here we go. I'm going to go first, okay? Ready? This is how we enter the show every time. No, really. What Are Friends For? My name is Pallavi Sastry.
And I'm Pallavi's best friend, Gabrielle Ruiz.
Aww.
Cute. cute, right? We found it like in the middle of season two.
I love it.
How long have you guys been best friends for?
When you find new signatures.
Oh, well, we've been friends for 15 years, but more like we started as colleagues because Gabrielle and I were not very good at being girlfriends with other people when we were younger, which is, it's a skill, though. Don't you guys agree? Yeah. It's a skill. Mm-hmm. So, like, we were definitely, like, very ambitious people. We went to school in Oklahoma and met on a summer theater gig when we were the stars of High School Musical on stage.
Like you do. Ooh, in 2007. Okay.
Yeah, very 2007. Yes.
And then we would like just run into each other in waiting rooms for Broadway musical auditions. And then I think we saw each other at a street fair in Queens once. And we were like, hey, girl.
Yeah.
Good to see you.
Let's hang out.
Nice.
Bye.
Do you know what I'm talking about? It's like, what show are you doing right now? It was the most awkward thing. And I remember being with my sister at the time, and I told her, I was like, I don't know why I told her, let's hang out later. Like, I don't know. What would I fucking talk to her about?
And then enter podcasting.
Well, enter like growing up and then realizing that you didn't try to cultivate like deep relationships with people that were platonic versus just romantic or just work. And New York City definitely feeds the work side.
The hustle.
And I guess you make as much time as you can in the romantic side of New York. Because like if I'm living in Queens and I can't date a guy in Brooklyn, it's impossible. Like it's just impossible. Yeah. And so, you know, there's a lot of
train lines. We got different water and the pizza and the burros.
They compost over. They compost over there. They're just going to judge me.
You can make it. You can make. Yeah. I mean, you can make it on a flight to Boston in the time it takes you to get from Queens to Brooklyn. Like it's a problem.
Oh yeah. I dated someone in Santa Monica.
We have the same issue in LA too. Yeah. Yes, with the Santa Monica. That's our Brooklyn.
Yeah.
actually, we're Brooklyn. Actually,
right,
yes.
Right. But we'll get it right.
Santa Monica is Jersey City or something.
That's so interesting that you guys say that, though. So you feel like when you were like, did you audition like on the same things, or when you would just see each other? You were in High School Musical together, and you would just kind of see each other around like theater stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, we didn't always audition for the same stuff because she was, you know, she entered the business as a dancer and I was more of the singer actor route. But yeah, we would definitely like every so often cross paths, or it could be like in New York. It's kind of like being on the quad whenever you're in like Hell's Kitchen around all the theaters and stuff. So you just run into people. And Astoria was where all of us lived in Queens.
I love that.
And then I learned about vision boards when I finally was becoming rabid and senseless in New York, and I needed to like actually figure out my soul because it was dying. And, you know, happy with money or not, happy with the gig or not, like I was still dying in my soul. And I found what vision boarding was, and I loved it because it was so, it just initiated so much of my subconscious and like really wanted long term, you know, Saturn's return, 26 years old, you're having that moment. And I started inviting people over. My roommate and I started inviting people over for vision boards. So you get to meet people on the account of your dreams versus just work. And that was the first moment for me where I was like, wow, I don't need to be anything but myself, or even try to be, I don't have to be a yogi. I don't have to be a theater person. I don't have to have some sort of identity. I can just like find a necklace or an elephant in a magazine, be stimulated by that, and then share that to someone. They'll be like, I get that too. And so like that was like the second thing that for me that really helped me just like get off of myself. My God, just talking about myself all fucking day. And that's part of the business. Like you go in an audition, you're like, here I am, here's 30 seconds of my best, and sell. And I just I never was asking people, how are you? And then listening. what a concept.
It's funny because as stand-ups, like I feel like we're in the trenches together, maybe in a different way, because we're like doing mics every night and stuff like that. So we get really close, but it's funny because we're also, you know, obsessed with ourselves and stuff. But we're finding out how people are on stage. So it's like, well, I don't have to ask a question. I just heard them talk about it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Interesting. Yeah.
That's very interesting.
Well, and plus you're also like, if people you're coming up with too, you're watching each other fail publicly over and over and over again while you're figuring it out. So it does like create like a bond because you're just like, oh shit, they figured out that joke. So you end up cheering for people in a lot of different ways.
I think the musical theater hustle and the theater hustle is different from the stand-up hustle too. Like
that's what I'm saying. Yeah.
Your whole fucking life different. Is like, yeah, I mean like, I'm just so in awe of people who do that hustle in New York, because it's like, of course, how could you have time for anything? And then on top of that, you're like, the bars never close and you're out social. Like, I don't know how everyone is not on cocaine in that city. I don't know.
Like we were either just like drinking coffee like crazy, or like we were just getting sick and asleep all the time. Like it was just it was pretty nuts. And like, I don't think we realized, I think for Gabrielle and I in particular with our relationship, like I think it was that vision boarding experience and like actually going over to each other's apartments and not talking about theater, where I was just like, oh, like Gabrielle's like not this intense person that I just thought she, like, she was just not like this, like, you know, hard rail of a person. And same for myself. Like for me, like it was like, don't show anybody any weakness. That was my thing. Like, you know what I mean? Like, don't share anything that would make you seem less worthy or able, you know what I mean, in any way. And so, you know, all of a sudden when you tell somebody, yeah, I just like, I'm kind of struggling because like it's hard to pay my bills here, and you know, I need to figure something else out, so I'm going to transition into something else. Like, I don't know what this business is for me anymore. And like that, just saying that is like, oh, like you're a real person, like with real problems.
So then, before we get to the podcasting thing, both of us kind of moved to LA at the same time within like the same 12 months. We were friends by then, and like legit friends, hung out outside of work, and we had things to say to each other. We finally figured that out. Paula V moves, and I just remember having more time in Los Angeles versus New York City, because I wasn't so fucking tired. I was like, I had time, and I was lucky to come with a job, but only work Monday through Friday, because Broadway is Tuesday through Sunday, 8 shows a week, and Monday's not really a day off. It's a productive day off, and I was so floored that I could actually call someone and be like, hey, do you want to go like hiking and then maybe get dinner? Like, that's like 3 hours of a commitment with the person that you don't have time in New York for.
Yeah. The pitch really is Los Angeles. Shit is easy here.
I mean, there was a moment where like we were both like fairly new here, and we made a lot of our friends by taking them to our new love at the time, which was indoor rock climbing. So we would like take them to the rock climbing gym, and we would like spend like 3 or 4 hours a day with them. We're like, man, like nobody works in this town. Like, nobody works.
No, so wait, I have to ask you, are you guys still rock climbing? Because my sister's really into that right now, and I'm like, it sounds like something I'd really like to get obsessed with.
It's it's fun to be obsessed with, that's for sure. But like we said, it's like a 2-hour commitment when you go. So like for me, having a toddler right now, I can't justify that. And also like it was one of those like high impact things. Like if you fall off the wall, like, you know, it's not one of those things you can justify doing while you're pregnant. So like as soon as I found out I was pregnant, I was like, I gotta stop doing this shit. Okay.
For sure.
I remember I wanted to get into it a few years ago, but I kind of wanted to like find something on my own. I didn't want to like really do it with anybody else. And then I get there and I'm like, oh, you literally have to come here with someone.
Somebody else has your rope.
I wanted to do it alone, and then I was like, this is not gonna work.
That's so funny. You're like, I'm free soloing this shit. Get the fuck out of my way.
Typical.
But yeah, she like, I remember I called her to tell her we were moving to LA, and literally the first thing she said was, she said, Paula V, we're gonna have babies together. And I was like, oh, that sounds really nice.
What a concept. So no, but like just there, I mean, I was okay with having kids in New York and doing the stroller down the subway stairs and all of that madness. I was going to be ready for that. But the fact that I didn't have to do that because Crazy Ex-Girlfriend kind of kept me here and like just created the first upgrade of stability for me. And my husband and I made a plan to be here and financially plan that way, which was super fun. But it just was the icing on the cake that Paula V and Hari were able to move over here as well. It was great.
That's the
and then
dream.
Paula V started the podcast a year before I joined. Right, Paula?
Oh, nice.
Yeah, it was like an experiment, actually. It was about trying to keep in touch with friends when proximity isn't your ally. You know what I mean? Like, it's so easy to stay friends with people because they're there.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, for sure.
And so that was what the experiment was. And then the friend that I started at the time didn't really want to, like, go hard on it. And I was like, well, I'm going to go hard on it. And so I went to the first person I knew would be intense with me, and that was Gabrielle.
And here we
Full circle moment. We're like, you're an intense person? Yeah, let's like, do the same.
Send me the contract. Let's go.
Yeah, let's do paperwork, you know?
There you go. No, for sure. It is such a, like, this last year has been such a blessing to have the show for us, because it's like we've been able to see so many people, all of our friends, like, every week, to catch back up and everything too. It's been there. It's nice to, like, you know, as you get older, I think it becomes hard to, like, prioritize those, like, friendships. So, like, being able to put, like, definitely at least an hour a week on the calendar that I know that I'm going to see at least those two. It's like,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
So nice just to be like, oh, good. I know I will see my friends.
And, like, don't you feel like if you were to think about it for even, you know, 10 seconds, like, where are the resources that are plentiful about platonic love? Because the media is, like, so focused on us being partnered, and, like, there's so many resources about romance, right? Mm-hmm. And, like, how to, like, get a boyfriend, how to keep a boyfriend, how to, like, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, it's so much about talking about romantic love as, like, the highest love. And we were like, no, it actually kind of takes the same skills to keep, like, really good friendships. And that's what our experience was, to, like, get to this place in our own friendship. And we're like, we should talk about that, because, like, we're apparently in the age of loneliness. So, like, why aren't we talking more about not being lonely, even when because, you know, we can be lonely even when we're partnered.
Of course. Oh, yeah. Of course.
And I mean, we have people write into us all the time. This is a very common thing that people go through, is, like, moving somewhere new and having a hard time meeting platonic friends. Because, like you said, if you're trying to date, it's actually, obviously, as we all know, very easy to date randos wherever you want to go. But, like, trying to meet new people or establish platonic relationships as an adult is, like, a huge
challenge.
It's
really difficult.
And, like, I 1,000%, like, yes, I think, like, female friends are, like, the most important. There's, like, it's such an important relationship in life. Like,
and it's like chemically things happen to us when we're together. It's like in a good way. In a good way. It's like our chemistry, our body chemistry, like, does good things for us in, like, the longevity of our life, because we hang out and talk. You know what I mean?
Yeah, for sure. It's so interesting, because, like, I remember my favorite show growing up was The Golden Girls, and I just always, as a child, was always like, oh, well, eventually I'll have a dead husband and I'll live with three of my friends. And that's kind of, like, that's just kind of the way that I've just, like, since I was a child, I've been like, well, that's just what's going to happen, and I can't wait for it.
Looking forward to it.
Can't wait to bury a man.
Yeah, I mean, this is it. This is five people right here. That was five Golden Girls, wasn't it?
It's four. So we have an extra, but that's okay. Yeah. Quirky neighbor.
Whatever.
Yeah, quirky neighbor next door. I got a buddy that hangs out. Totally fine. No, yeah, exactly. Yeah, I mean, but that's, like, one of, like, the few shows that I was like, no, this is, like, the power of, like, women friendships, and, like, the way that they have each other's back in a way that, like, you know, relationships for romantic ones can kind of come and go. But, like, it just really instills how important those other platonic friendships are to you.
I will say that I just would shout out to my romantic relationships for giving my other friends something to be annoyed about with me, because I feel like that brings them together, you know?
You think your romantic relationships make your other friends annoyed with you?
Well, no, just, I mean, the fucking idiots I've dated, you know what I mean?
Like, your past.
Like, going over the minutiae of, like, who cares? This guy's obviously an asshole.
Break up with them, girl, again.
As the person who is always listening to it, it was always entertaining. Don't worry about that.
Which begs the question, have you all ever had a romantic relationship that was able to evolve to platonic?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, I have.
I tried, but.
I have two or three exes that are good friends.
Yeah, one of my dearest friends was an ex too, CK Edwards. Gabrielle and I both know him. So, like, and his wife is 2 weeks, due 2 weeks after Gabrielle.
Aww.
Yeah. Nice.
Yeah, my last, like, other big relationship I had in LA, I thought we were going to be friends afterwards, and then he kind of just ghosted on me. So I feel like I was putting in the effort there.
Yeah,
maybe he couldn't. He was like, I can't do this.
He couldn't hang. Yeah.
Yeah, I can't do this.
It is a tough one, though. That's the toughest transition, I would say.
No. Yeah. Well, my husband and I were friends for, like, a really long time before we started dating. I think we were friends for, like, at least 7 years before we started dating. So I went the opposite way.
Yeah, so did I. My husband and I met when we were 8 years old.
Whoa.
Oh, wow. Oh my God. That's crazy. And were you guys like in each other's lives like a lot in your childhood?
Mostly for holidays, because my extended family is from the Bay Area, which is where he grew up. So like I would see him like two or twice a year, maybe.
That's so cute.
Yeah.
What's like the youngest picture together that you guys have?
Oh, good question. I'd have to probably fish that out. But there's probably like a Christmas photo somewhere that I could find where I'm like 8 or 9 years old.
Yeah. Wow. That's crazy.
Yeah, for sure.
That. That's so funny. So when did you guys get together then?
When I was in college, when I was saying earlier, when I broke up with him because he got me flowers. And I was like, what the fuck is this? Like, you should know me better than that.
I love breaking up with someone over flowers because it is such a college thing to do where it's like, this was the last straw.
Yeah. But like but in terms of friendships though, like I think the reason why friendships are hard to keep up with is because they're supposed to be the ones that you empty your cup and vent to. And then all of a sudden when there's something about that friend that you need to empty your cup about, you're like, how do I do this without like upsetting them, hurting them? You know what I mean? Like it's so hard to do. So you just, more often than not, people like elect to just stay uncomfortable. You know what I mean? And then that festers into like something more messy. And you're just like, what the fuck? Now I can't be friends with that person anymore because I didn't have the balls to say something. Like,
Yeah, we get a lot of lady problems about that kind of stuff too. And we've talked about this before and we're like, yeah, we give the advice of like, just air it out. But it's like, most people aren't going to end up doing that.
It's hard.
Yes. So hard.
Yeah.
It's hard. And we also, I mean, we do live in a society that is so like hustle based, that is also like, get married, have your fucking kid, contribute.
Yes.
Contribute.
401k.
Like, and a friend is not financially feasible and doesn't fit into the plan in any way. What can you give back if you have a friend? And it's like, I just want to be happy.
One of my favorite things about myself is I am always ready to go on a trip with my girlfriends at the drop of a hat. Like, it's if some of my friends want to do something, I'm out of here. Let's go.
Listen, you guys have heard of a baby moon, right? Like, where, like, the couple, like, gets away and they, like, go on. My baby moon was with my girlfriends.
That's what I'm about.
Gabrielle planned it. She, like, found us a cute little cabin in the woods and, like, I went away with my lady friends.
That's so cool.
This definitely sounds like almost the beginning of a horror movie, so I'm glad.
Baby moon. Yeah. I love it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And most of us are people of color, so we were like, oh, we would have all died in that scenario, because that's usually what happens in a horror movie.
Goes first.
Oh, I love it.
Gosh, yes. But yeah, I mean, to the point of what the show has done for us is, like, in a way, it's, like, helped us be our own therapists for our own friendship in a way. Like, we've, with our solo episodes, when we don't have a guest, is like when we have the toughest conversations, which I think has been great. Like, we just released one not long ago about like faith and friendships, because like we both grew up with very different experiences. Like, Gabrielle is Christian and I'm Hindu, and you know, like, we had to like have a conversation navigating around being respectful of each other, but also like being like, hey, like, you don't understand that, like, this has been really hard for me, and I don't say these things because nobody like understands what it's like to like grow up in, you know, until you talk about it, like, no one knows what it feels like to be a first gen kid of like a Hindu family where like the whole country is based on Christianity, and like I only celebrate Christian out of survival, like Christmas out of survival,
of course,
you know. It's like but it was really nice to finally have that conversation at fucking 35 years old, you know.
That is really important to like get it out there. So it's cool you guys have created a space where it's like, all right, this is a space where we're going to talk about this shit.
Yeah, for sure. Gabrielle, don't we have like another, what's the next one we have coming up where it's
jealousy versus envy?
Yeah.
And friendships.
Yes. Nice.
That's another tough topic, and how the two words intertwine with each other, however they are so different.
How do you think that they're different?
Oh, Pallavi actually explains it better than I do.
Oh,
I'm putting you on the spot.
Well, I mean, Webster, like Merriam-Webster has like two different definitions for them, which they're a little cyclical, but essentially like envy is like a normal feeling where like you, it's apparently will creep into any reaction to you have to like, even if it's positive to like somebody's good news or good fortune or something like that, you could be like, you could always have that twinge of like, oh, wouldn't that be nice? And that's what envy is. Mm-hmm. And then envy can like quickly turn into jealousy if it's like, if you, the jealousy is like you feeling like that person is taking something away from you but with something they have. And that's the difference.
Yeah. Oh, it's like envy. Jealousy is envy with a scarcity mindset, it's, kind of.
Exactly.
More like resentment.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. It festers and like turns into resentment and like, oh, they have something and I don't know how to deal with them having all of this happiness and success.
And I don't.
Mm. Yeah. Oof. It's a tough one.
Yeah, it was a tough one. We also talked about weak ties, how the people you miss that you don't know in your life, because coming back into a more, you know, if it's ever going to be normal ever again, but not so socially distanced world, like the amount of people that you, the barista at the coffee shop or the person at the corner or, you know, the homeless guy that's so nice that you always see and give him some food sometimes, like those people that you actually don't know is a part of your psychological balance, you know, and part of your community. And so those friendships too have lacked, obviously, for the last year. And like, how is everybody dealing with that when you are isolated and you are just like hoarding and binging your close relationships for just a year versus the balance of your community? I liked that one a lot too. It was a article from The Atlantic that we just kind of dived into. And we have a lot of sexy guests. Yeah, we have a lot of sexy guests too.
Yeah.
Hell yeah, of course. Of course.
Yeah, I was thinking about that because like I remember one time my friend being like, why do you like to get like fucked up so much? And me and okay. That's a whole other separate question. But
it's a whole other episode.
Yeah. But she was basically like, you know, I really like going out and like meeting new people and like finding out their story or whatever. Mm-hmm. And I was like, well, that's the part of it. Like, I like having like maybe it's an adventure with one person for a night that, you know, I don't know if I'm going to see them again or something. But I like meeting people, and I don't know where that lives in, if I'm not, you know, if you're at a bar or something, it's obviously lends itself to that, and it's a little more awkward being like, I'm gonna take a class and then make friends or something like that, because that's not necessarily what I want. I just want to like talk to someone for a few hours or something, you know.
We were talking about that in the context of like kids that are like people in their 20s who are just getting out of college, who like they're not going to be able to have those water cooler moments with people. You know, because like so many like professional advancements can happen just like in the in-between times, you know, like we're talking about, especially in our industry. It's like going to quote networking events or like just going to the same coffee shop where you like might meet somebody who could change your life as a collaborative partner or something, because you see them every day and you just have small talk with them, and it's like small talk is eventually moves into something else if you see them often enough, and like those kids aren't getting any of that.
It's funny, we were talking about like networking stuff because I've been doing a little bit of Clubhouse, and I like was in a thing the other day that was casting directors talking to people, and I had a question about a reel.
Those rooms.
It was a night. I was like, wow, this is a fucking nightmare. This guy was going into such detail because somebody was like, is it safe to go back on set? And this one like guy was just like describing like, well, they put the thing in my nostrils, and I was like, why is this happening? Why are you talking about your COVID test in such detail? Anyway, I tweeted about how like kind of annoying the room was, but I didn't think when you go on people are looking at your Twitter and stuff, so I think they saw my tweet talking shit about it, because I asked my question and one person answered and then everyone else was silent. And like, I was like, oh, whoops.
Ooh, you like accidentally reply all of that comment. Like,
yeah, you absolutely did. Man, Barbara, that's a cyber ant right there. That I like
it. Yeah, I anted in cyberspace.
Oh my God.
Well, all right. I'm going to write that one down so I don't make that.
Yeah, make the tweet like a day later, not at the time when they're about to pull you on stage, because they were literally taking half an hour to answer other people's questions and then they've like cut me off. I essentially got the cane around the and pulled off stage.
Badge of honor. Absolute badge of honor. I love
it. All right, we have to take a break. We'll be back with Lady Problem.
We're back, guys. I am Tess.
I'm Brandy.
And we're here with Gabrielle Ruiz and Paula V. Sastry. And
I'm Paula V.'s best friend.
Your only credit we're giving you.
That's fine. Mm-hmm. Fine.
Perfect.
I'll get in a lot of rooms with that. I'm Paula V.'s best friend.
Let me in.
All right. Let's do a lady problem, shall we?
Yeah. Yes. If you have lady problems, you can send them to us at ladytoladycomedy@gmail.com or hit us up on our voicemail at 323-6-BUT-30.
What is 6-BUT-30?
6-BUT-30. B-U-T-T.
Lady problems. Lady problems. Lady problems. Do you have them? Lady problems. Do you have them? People have them.
All right. Not quite Broadway level, but you know, we're working our way.
The dynamics are award winning, though.
Yes,
I have
they
to
are.
Say.
Thank you. We'd like to think so.
So this one was written in to us. Mm-hmm. What's up, ladies? First of all, you are all just terrific. Thank you. Mm-hmm. I've been wondering this for a while. How do you break up with a friend who hasn't really done anything wrong? I realize I have a couple of friendships that I think I've outgrown. I've experienced a lot of change this year. Who hasn't? But basically, I just give way fewer fucks. I'm a little more tired. I love the close friends that I have, and I'm good with that. This is hard to write without sounding like a monster. Breaking up with friends is so much more complicated than with a significant other. I just don't feel much of an attachment to these friends, which I feel really horrible about. Hanging out is not a good time to me. I mean, I can hang, talk, have an okay time, but I'm just not into it. I don't want to just see people because I feel obligated not to hurt their feelings. I guess if they're a romantic situation, I wouldn't feel any hesitation walking away, right? The tricky part is that they haven't done anything wrong. There's nothing I can point to and be like, this is why I'm not going to be your pal anymore. I think I've just changed. I do not want to hurt them. They don't deserve that. But like, what the heck is the other option? I've tried low-key ghosting, not responding, not being available to make plans, not being the one to reach out. But they still try. Again, am I being a monster? I do care about them. I just don't have the emotional bandwidth to be a good friend. I feel bad even writing this email. Should I just be a low-key lame friend forever? Anyway, yeah, thanks a bunch. I love the podcast, etc.
Ugh.
Dear monster friend.
Kudos for writing it all down, though, and getting it out there. That's the first step that you know what you need. Are we just, like, going into, like, giving them advice?
Okay. Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yes. Well, first of all, I don't have all the answers, but I will say we've talked about this a lot where, like, you need to move. And Gabrielle's really good about expanding on this idea, but, like, you got to think about your bandwidth in terms of friendship as how Harvey Guillen presented it to us as a tiered cake. And the top tier are like those people that, you know, you already have your closest friends and whatnot. And it's okay to bring people down on the tier, but still love them for where they're at in your life.
Yeah. French Stewart has used doses as like drug doses as his method instead of a cake. But, you know, still fun.
Same.
But then does she have to tell this person that that's what she wants to do? Because it sounds like she's been trying to like do that on her own accord. But this person kind of seems like, do you think they'll just eventually get the hint, or is that like a conversation she needs to have?
Right. Like, it's not getting to the cake tier without her putting some work in or something.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I think it's okay to be upfront about your bandwidth without making it about them, right? Mm-hmm. It's like, it's making, in that regard, maybe in this situation, it might be okay to make it about you and be like, hey, I'm working on this and this in my life, and I don't want to drop the ball on you as a friend. Mm. So just be patient with me as I figure it out, right? It's like, being like really upfront about where you're at and not making it about any sort of shortcoming or like lack of desire of wanting to be their friend. Does that make sense?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
And if that person on the other side were to take it personally or in any way make it toxic because of that being a reaction, then they just aren't a good friend. And then that's a release.
I was going to say, and then you're out.
Yeah.
Well, there's your out, and also there's your answer, because what is it that they exactly need from you so much that they're not getting somewhere else? Right. And so if it's true friendship, which should be platonic, there is unconditional giving and not needing to receive when it comes to like the everyday smaller circle stuff, because if they're on a larger circle, if they're in a larger tier of the cake, which is the lower tier, which is not also seeing them so much or not giving so much vulnerability or giving them, you know, your story that sucks for the day and all that kind of stuff, getting that kind of advice, then it's like, hey, call me when you can. Just let me know when you can. You know, there's going to be a big barbecue for the 4th of July. Just come. No worries. No pressure. You know, it seems like where this person wants that other person to be. And if that person can't handle that, then you really get your answer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I like the idea because we are kind of moving back into like an era where we can, I think maybe at least later on this year, be able to have like a little bit of bigger get-togethers. So maybe like, yeah, if that is like the type of friend that you do just want to have, maybe you do occasionally want to see them a couple times a year, then just invite them to that shit.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it sounds like they don't ever want to see them, but...
Sounds like they're tired.
Sounds like they just don't want to give them any time of their life, which I don't think is bad. They know that, but it's just hard to do. I mean, I think also the other route is to go the how to lose a guy in 10 days, like try to actively sabotage the friendship. Push them away or to the brink.
I mean, Gabrielle also, like, you know, one of the things that she brings up as like her go-to is like, they could also get the point if you are consistent with the whole, okay, do you want me to listen right now or do you want my advice? Because like then maybe that other person will realize that they're like taking up a lot of bandwidth within that friendship and being like, oh, I'm really exhausting her right now because she keeps asking me the same question over and over again every time we talk. You know?
Yeah.
I had somebody kind of try to like start hanging out again outside recently. And I was just like, no, we're not. I mean, it worked. I didn't really be very responsive, so I think they did get the hint, you know? Mm-hmm. But I know that feeling of, I was like, we're not natural friends. We're just not. That's hard when someone's trying to force it, and it's like, this shouldn't take energy, you know? You know when you're around someone who you just, like, it works and whatever, and I shouldn't be, like, so rubbed the wrong way every time you text me.
You know what? This is kind of insane, though, and I'm going to do that really annoying thing of, like, I read somewhere in an article, but, like a large percentage, like, whatever this article is about, was a large percentage of people, like, aren't as close to the people in their life as they think they are. Mm. Like, so that's kind of, like, what do you do about that? It's, like, one of the parties is, like, not at the party.
Mm. No, it's so true. So we actually have like maybe a reference for this person. Like you should go check out Danielle Byer Jackson. I don't know if you guys have show notes or something, but like we could totally shout her out for a million of these sorts of questions because speaking of somebody who's good at TikTok, but like in 30 seconds, like she will give you the exact way you should handle these types of situations. So I highly recommend. Mm. And she's been a guest on our show because she's like a certified friendship coach for women.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that. So she definitely has more answers than we do.
Well, let's just call
certified her answers. She has certified answers.
She can sign off on how to dump this person.
So to the friendship monster that asked the question, good luck. That's what I'm going to say.
Yeah. I mean, in practice, I think what I honestly, okay, yeah, great. Here's what I think would actually work. Just keep ghosting them.
Yeah, I mean, ultimately, it's hard having, like, we just don't have the language for like the platonic version of this. And it is also from this other person's point of view too. It's like gotta be hard to hit your self-esteem if like somebody doesn't want to see you and you feel that, whether it's a platonic or romantic relationship. So it's like any way that you can like make that severance is also giving them the space to find somebody that actually does want to be in their life too.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, they did say that like this person didn't do anything wrong, right? And it's like, I don't know. I guess like maybe I'm just like trying to put myself on the chopping block here and being like, just honesty is the best policy in terms of like texting them back and being like, hey, you're awesome and I think you're great. I just don't have the bandwidth right now. So like, I can't hang out in this moment. So, you know, I'll totally like, you know, let's keep in touch as best as we can. I'm so sorry.
Don't say that. Don't keep in touch as best we can. So the other person's trying to do already.
I know. But what I'm trying to say is like, you know, just give, but that at least gives them the hint, right? That you're just like, I can't do this right now.
And then cut to you posting a photo with every single other person they know except them on Instagram.
Restrict really their like, Instagram.
No. There's not like a hard and fast winner answer on this one.
It's a tough question.
You could get like monogrammed gifts made up for all the people you want to stay friends with and then
just some people don't get
just their some own. Mean some real mean girl shit.
Yeah, lean into the monster of it all.
I did have a girlfriend do that once. I like tagged a bunch of people, but like I was totally pregnant and I don't know, mom brain, I guess. And like to me, social media is not that deep. So if I forget to tag you, it doesn't mean I don't like you.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
like a friend of mine literally like texted me afterwards. She was like, she like texted me the link to the post and she was like, I'm so glad you're so loved by so many people.
Oh my god.
Wow.
Oh my god. Deep.
And then yeah. now she's living in the Ganesh, right? She's like been moved.
Oh yeah. We're not really friends anymore.
Sweet Ganesh, Ref Brandy.
Thank you. Been watching Bake Off.
Living in the Ganesh. That sounds very fancy.
You're in deep Ganesh, baby. Get out of here.
I know. People are going to hear this like response to us and be like, they have a friendship podcast? I was like, I told you, I don't have all the answers, but we try our best. That's what friendship is.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Trying your best. No kidding.
Yeah.
that's about it.
What else you got to throw at us?
Well, actually, why don't you just tell people where they can find your show, your socials, all that stuff?
Okay, so the show is What Are Friends For? We're literally WAFF Podcast everywhere. WAFFpodcast.com/podcast. You know, all of that stuff. It's WAFF Podcast. And then our names are our personal socials everywhere, basically.
Great. Yeah.
And easy. Then you can also you can also join us at monthly for our live shows as a Patreon subscriber. It's $2 to $5 a month. We've had really great guests and we do a Zoomsies, Livesies is what I call it. We might transition over to Clubhouse, Babs. We'll let you know. Ooh. And but we do like the interactive like get together monthly with just a live show energy for what we have right now. Mm-hmm. But hopefully in the fall or maybe 2022, we have some real live shows, like in-person ones.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, Wet Ass Friends Forever. That's the podcast. No, What Are Friends For? Thanks for being on the show, you guys. This has been awesome.
Thank you for having us. You guys are so great.
So much Aww. Fun, guys. Thank you.
Hell yeah. All right, everybody. And we'll talk to y'all next week. Bye-bye.
Bye. Bye.
3, 2, 3. 6 but 30.
It's 6 but 30 somewhere.
Hey, ladies. So I just heard the voicemail from the last episode, and I need to tell you what I've been wanting to tell you for a long time, which is I always thought your theme song was talking about being in your corporate best. So it took me maybe a year to figure out that it was, and of course there's Tess, but I still sing it in your corporate best. No offense, Tess. It just rings well for me. Have a great day.
Hi, ladies. I'm a new listener. I'm catching up on all your episodes. I absolutely love them. But my lady problem is a simple question that I cannot figure out, which is the theme song lyrics for Lady to Lady. So it's like Barbara, Brandy, and a Tess. And I just can't figure out what Tess, like, the funny thing is that I want it to be like, and a slut named Tess, but it's not that. I tried. And then, like, every other thing I think of is dirty, like, and a effing Tess, but it's not that either. Anyways, tiny, simple problem. I could probably Google it, but I thought it'd be funnier to ask. So hit me up in the podcast. Thanks, ladies.